Chapter 2. The Medical Examination. When I entered the waiting room at the hospital, the people stopped, stared, and moved out of my way. Some of them were coughing and looked very ill. An old woman in a wheelchair bent over and struggled to breathe. A young man had cut his hand in a terrible factory accident and was stopping the bleeding with a dirty old towel. It broke my heart to see so many people suffering. The nurse behind the front desk wore a white uniform. When she looked up and saw me, she dropped her pen. Then, remembering she was a professional, she sat up straight and said, "How can I help you, sir?" I didn't want to speak and scare everybody with my voice, so I reached in my pocket and handed her the card Dr. Treves had given Norman.
"Yes," the nurse said. "I see. I will get Dr. Treves immediately."
She left her desk and disappeared behind a door. Just then, a tall man in a black hat came up to me. He was coughing loudly, and he had a bottle of whiskey in his hand. I couldn't tell if he was ill or drunk.
"Hey," he said, "why do you hide behind that hood? Why don't you show your face?"
I was scared, so I turned my back to him. The man said,
"Don't run away from me, you coward. I just want to have a look at you."
Now, other sick people in the waiting room heard him and got up. They started to gather around me.
"Take off your mask," they shouted. "Let's see your face."
They started to pull at my coat and push me around. Even the old lady in the wheelchair asked me to take off my hood. Suddenly, somebody with a loud voice shouted,
"Leave that man alone! Get away from him immediately!"
It was Dr. Treves. He pushed away the dirty man and all the other sick people who had been pulling at me. "I'm terribly sorry that we left you here alone, Mr. Merrick," Dr. Treves said. "Please follow me." In the examination room, the doctor told me to undress and stand on the cold white floor. He made sure the door was locked so that nobody would come in accidentally. For almost an hour, he walked around me, looking at me very carefully. He adjusted his glasses and took notes in a small brown book. I was used to people staring at me, but this time I was nervous. Would the doctor know what was wrong with me? Would he find a cure for me? While he examined me, the sound of my breathing filled the room. I marveled at how clean the place was. The bed in the corner had big white pillows and white sheets. The sink was very clean, and all the doctor's tools were silver and shiny. The doctor put down his pen and said,
"Please get dressed, Mr. Merrick."
After I put on my shirt and trousers, he said, "Would you like some food and something to drink?" I nodded and grunted. I didn't want to scare him with my voice. He left the room and came back some minutes later with a nurse. She had a tray of food.
"Don't stare at him," Dr. Treves told her. "Just put the food down and leave."
The nurse did not look up from the tray, but her hands were trembling. She put the food down on the table and left the room very quickly.
"Go ahead and eat," the doctor told me.
I could hardly believe the food they brought. It was the best meal I had ever seen. Steak, potatoes, corn, peas, bread, and tea in a bright yellow cup. The plates had painted flowers on them. The knife, fork, and spoon were shiny. The yellow cup and the teapot were elegant. I ate the delicious food and drank the tea, and I felt like the King of England. Suddenly, there was a knock on the door.
Dr. Treves let in an older man, who gasped when he first saw me.
"My goodness, Treves," the man said. "What is that?"
Please, Dr. Gom," Treves said. "This is my patient, Mr. Merrick. Mr. Merrick, I'd like you to meet my supervisor, Dr. Gom."
"Oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Merrick,"
Dr. Gom said to me. He didn't want to shake my hand. Then he turned to Dr. Treves and said,
"Does he understand a word we're saying?"
"Yes," Treves said. "Although he understands simple things, he doesn't speak. He only nods and grunts." Dr. Gom seemed very unhappy and didn't want to look at me. He said,
"Treves, you are the head of our anatomy department. Please tell me your opinion. What is your diagnosis of his disease?"
"I believe this is the worst case of elephantiasis ever recorded," Dr. Treves said. "He is growing tumours on his legs, back and shoulders, and they appear to be getting bigger and bigger." Dr. Gom disagreed. He said,
"This cannot be a case of elephantiasis. More than half of his body is not normal."
"Dr. Gom," Treves said, "I think we need to study him further to discover the problem."
"Study him further?" asked Dr. Gom. "Why? Is he curable?"
The two men stared at me in silence. My heart started to beat fast as I waited to hear Dr. Treves' answer. He said, "Maybe he is curable, but maybe not. How can we know unless we study him some more?" Dr. Gom said,
"Treves, don't be a fool. This creature is disgusting. He cannot possibly be cured."
Treves looked furious. He cleared his throat and said, "Dr. Gom, he is not just a creature. He's a human being and a child of God like you or me." Dr. Gom pointed at Dr. Treves and said,
"Now listen to me. I am the head of this hospital. We cure sick people. We're not a hotel for freaks. I insist that you remove him immediately."
Dr. Gom left the room and slammed the door. For a long time, the doctor was quiet. He seemed to be thinking of what to do next. Then he said, "Thank you for coming to see me, Mr. Merrick. I'm very sorry, but I cannot cure you." I nodded sadly. There was no hope for me, so I put on my coat and gloves and reached for my hood. Treves looked like he was going to cry. He said, "I want you to keep my card. And remember, if you ever, ever need any help of any kind, please come and see me." I made my way back through the dirty, noisy streets of London to the sideshow in Mile End Road. It was raining and my hood was getting soaked. I looked through the two holes in my mask and saw horses pulling carriages in the mud and children jumping up and down in puddles of water. I was going back to live the life of a circus freak for Tom Norman. I didn't want to, but I didn't have another option. A person like me couldn't find any other kind of work. When I was 12, I tried to earn a living selling shoe polish on the street corner, but the other children made fun of me. Then the government put me in an institution where poor people worked, but nobody wanted me there either. As I walked, I thought about the doctor. Could he save me? I had wanted to stay in the hospital. The rooms were so clean and the food was so good. It would be incredible to have a simple room where nobody would look at me or be frightened by me. When I got to Mile End Road, some policemen dressed in black were waving their clubs at a crowd. A man was standing on a box and shouting about something. A group of citizens had gathered to protest. But what were they protesting against? As I got closer, I saw the signs they were holding up.